Welcome. Wow, that was loud. Welcome to the Animal Control Report with your hosts,
Ashley Bishop.
And I am Daniel Ettinger. Thanks for joining us again for episode 190-something. This episode, we're going to get into some stuff about breed-specific legislation. But before we do that, definitely check out our website, keepithumane.com. We're part of the Keep It Humane podcast network. Also, check out our socials. That's the Animal Control Report on Facebook and Instagram. We also have a TikTok. That's Keep It Humane. So if you like that. And then if you want to watch this podcast, like actually see our faces and all the
body language. But you really don't have to.
All the body language that Bishop shows me while I'm saying dumb stuff, you can check that out on YouTube. So just go to YouTube at Keep It Humane. You will find the podcast there, or just type in the Animal Control Report. I also wanted to mention that we still have some time. We're in October now, and the deadline is fast approaching for ACO of the year and Animal Control Agency of the Year. So if you're interested in submitting nominations for that, just go to keepithumane.com/animalcontrolreport, and then you can submit right there. It's really simple. You don't have to be a member of anything. You don't have to pay anything. You just submit along with a 500-word essay, and then we'll judge and decide on who wins those prizes. Bishop.
Yeah.
Guess how many submissions we have so far.
Zero.
Well, if you count the one submission we did get that did not have the essays, that would be like 0.5. yeah, it sucks. And this is a common theme in our industry. I'll be honest. I've dealt with this for over a decade. I used to be on the Colorado Association of Animal Control Officers. It was a board that was dedicated to the state of Colorado's animal control officers. And then partly, I think, because of the lack of involvement from our community, they merged with the Animal Shelter Coalition, or whatever you'd call it, for the state of Colorado. So now it's just one board. But when I was on that board for the officers, I had several different roles throughout my time there. And I'll tell you, the involvement of officers when we would ask for, you got to see this really quick. This guy's trying to sneak up on this couch. He's like, I'm going to get up, D. I'm going to get up. So if you're watching on YouTube, you could see him just plop up there on his couch. Anyway. So my point is, people just, they want to see change, but they don't get involved. Or they want to have like recognition, but they don't get involved.
That's one of the big reasons why, as much as I want a state organization, that's one of the reasons why I haven't been working on it, because I was the only one working on it. Mm-hmm. And trying to do something that huge by yourself is damn near impossible when you're also working 40 hours and have a family.
And I totally get the aspect of, like, you know, you and I will say, kind of go a little bit above and beyond for our profession. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way. I just mean it like we take time out of our personal time. Like, I'm not in my work office. I'm not on duty right now. And neither are you. And so we dedicate our personal time to this career, this profession. But I will say that it's, I don't expect people, like, when they're off duty to, like, do everything animal control. That's not what I'm asking. But I'm just saying, if there is an opportunity for you to get the recognition you deserve, I think, like, you should take that time and just submit the nomination. So please, again, go to keepithumane.com/animalcontrolreport, and then you'll see the areas where you can submit the submissions. Submit the submissions. Submit them. Get on it, people. Let's go. What else you got going on, Bishop?
I don't know. In like 2 weeks, if you guys continue to watch the YouTube videos, you'll see me with a big old bruise on my face. But we got to come up with like a good reason as to, like, I need to come up with a story. Like, did I get bit by a dog? A chihuahua. I got bit by a chihuahua.
Are they expecting a big bruise?
They said you might bruise, and I always bruise. So, meet trouble. they say you sometimes bruise for this. So, for those of you that don't know, I have a nerve issue on the side of my face that causes me a lot of pain. Feels like I get somebody taking a screwdriver to my tooth, but I had a root canal in that tooth, so there's nothing for that to be affecting. It's going into my lower jaw. I'm maxed out on meds, so my options were a brain surgery or this temporary fix so that I can save up some sick and vacation time for the brain surgery, where I'll get an injection through my cheek.
If anyone should be having a brain surgery, it should be me. Well, it sucks that you're going to have your face all jacked up.
I'm serious, though. I got to come up with some cool story to go with it.
Like, well,
injection in the face is not worth it. I need... Get attacked by a chihuahua. We should ban them.
Speaking of banning, I think you and I are great to talk about this next segment. You know, for those of you that didn't know this, I worked in the city of Denver for a combined 10 years. And during that time, there was always some sort, and still is, some sort of breed-specific legislation. And what breed-specific legislation means is you can't own pit bulls, basically. And now you can, but under different circumstances. And so we'll get into that here in a little bit. So the question of, like, does BSL work, et cetera? BSL is short for breed-specific legislation. Does that work? And how do you enforce it? And so recently, well, before we even get into the recently stuff, I'd like for you to talk a little bit about it because you own one of these bullheaded, square-faced, weird dogs. Yeah.
You mean a mixed breed dog of who knows what that everybody says is a pit bull, but by standards, he's absolutely, maybe he's an American bulldog mix, but who's absolutely fantastic with my children and like the biggest baby ever.
And you've had him now for how long? Over a year, right?
2 years.
2 years. Any at any one time has he shown signs of aggression?
No. He can get protective.
Okay.
So like if I 100% believe that if we were out and about and somebody came to attack or something, yeah, he would protect us. But at most, like if we're horsing around, he jumps on us. Like he doesn't get aggressive. He jumps on us.
So there's never been a moment of like unpredictability where you're like, this dog is going to turn and kill my children or.
No.
Yeah.
Never. And, but I also still make sure that my children are being responsible around the dog because a dog is a dog. And I don't allow my kids to just hang on the dog, to lay on the dog, or mm-hmm. things like that.
Right.
Because it's all about treating the animal with respect.
Absolutely. And I think, did he just break in your room? And
no, Trouble's using my chair as a scratching post.
I thought he just broke in your room and was going to kill you. Because that's... what this next article is basically insinuating. And so I want to jump into that. And I just want to discuss kind of the challenges from my experience and even yours. And we'll talk about like dangerous dogs and such about how we properly handle situations, because I am only speaking from my experience, which is interesting because you can have somebody like a prime minister of England make a decision where they don't understand the full, like they can just make this blanket decision and don't understand how it A, affects the community, but how it's not enforceable. Breed specific legislation is not enforceable. We had a guest on a long time ago, and I think we may have get this, Bishop, we may have offended that guest.
I'm sure we did.
they were very pro anti-pit bull. Wow, that's not how you say it. Pro breed specific legislation, pro ban all pit bulls. And that's not our approach, and it'll never be our approach. And though they may have data that supports their approach, it still doesn't mean it's going to work. And so I've actually reached out to them a few times about some data, and we got ghosted. Because and that's the thing that I don't understand. I'm going to just talk about this really quick. Is like, just because you disagree with somebody doesn't mean that you're like a bad person, or like,
there's things you and I disagree on. We still get along. We have our own opinions, and everybody is entitled to that. And maybe if you have a discussion about it with other people,
yeah,
maybe you'll see the other side one way or the other.
One way or the other. Like, and that's just it, Bishop. Like, we shouldn't all agree. If we all agreed, this would be an interesting place that we lived in. Like,
no, it wouldn't.
Have you ever seen the television series Black Mirror?
No.
They do some really obscure stuff, but that'd be a cool idea for an episode where just everybody agreed on everything all the time. I just, like, no matter what it was just like, uh-huh, yeah, that sounds great.
I was on the debate team. I did learn how to argue things that I didn't believe in, but...
Fair. All right, let me read this article, and then we'll talk about it. I think it's really important. This comes from the New York Times. Further Europe section. The New York Times has a Europe section. All right, so this article was written by Mark Lander, and he's reporting from London. After brutal attacks and fierce debate, UK to ban American bully XL dogs. So before we even go any further, do you know what the fuck an American bully XL is?
No.
Okay, cool. Either do I, and neither do the breed standards. But we'll get to that. Let's get to that after I read the article. All right, here we go. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak announced steps to outlaw the dog on Friday after a string of deaths in a social media campaign piled pressure upon the government to act. The video, shot from a passing bus lasting barely a minute, is harrowing. A powerful young dog bites an 11-year-old girl in front of a grocery store in Birmingham, England. Pedestrians scatter in terror. The dog chases a man into the gas station plaza, pulling him down repeatedly, its jaws clamping on the man's arm and shoulder as he tries desperately to shake off the animal. Posted on social media last week, the footage inflamed a debate in Britain over the American Bully XL, a relatively new dog breed that has become highly popular even as it is blamed for a string of dangerous attacks. It's a replay, 3 decades later, of war over pit bulls, which raged in Britain and the United States. Though, with different results, pit bulls from which the XL is likely descended were outlawed in Britain, but remain mostly legal in the United States, even if some cities impose restrictions on them. Now, as then, there is a pitched battle between those who say some dogs are bred to be killers and those who say no dog is born that way. Now, as then, there is a social and class element. Given the popularity of these dogs in poorer neighborhoods, often with members of gangs, now as then, I don't like how they word that, now as then, the scientific data on propensity of certain breeds to attack humans is frustratingly inconclusive. There is little scientific data on the behavior of the bully XL. However, partly because it has only existed since the late 80s, experts say it is likely to have been crossbred from other dogs in the pit bull terrier family, some imported from the United States. Critics argue that outlawing the Bully XL or any other breed will not reduce the seriousness or fatal dog attacks. They point out that the passage of the Dangerous Dog Act in 1991 has not prevented a number of dog attacks or fatalities from rising in Britain. The British Veterinary Association and animal rights groups oppose bans on the grounds that they are unjust, in addition not being effective. Yet, proponents of the ban argue that a sudden spike in fatalities, many in which were caused by bully XLs, demonstrates the need for further action. Between 2001 and 2021, 3 people in Britain died each year, on average as a result of a dog attack, according to the Office for National Statistics. Last year, 10 people died, while 7 people died so far this year. The activists who run Bully Watch, the government has already waited too long to act. The group's founders have chosen to remain anonymous, saying that they would be subjected to reprisal from the breeders. They have created their own database of attacks using Facebook and other social media, which documents 351 cases of attacks by large bully breeds this year. Since 2021, they say Bully XLs have been responsible for 11 confirmed and 3 suspected deaths. The emergence of the Bully XL, however, illustrates the futility of banning specific breeds, according to the critics. They argue that a dog's owner will simply continue mixing dogs to create new breeds. In addition, the pit bull, Britain has banned the Japanese Tosa, the Dogo Argentino, the Fila, I can't even say that one, the Fila, whatever, y'all know what it is, the Fila, I'm not saying the second part, animal, and has been bred as fighting dogs are known for their aggression. Broen Dickey, an American author whose book, Pitbull, The Battle Over an American Icon, explored the history of the breed as well as the outcry in the 90s, linked to bans to former President Donald J. Trump's plan to halt the influx of immigrants across the southern border of the United States. It is very much like people who say, build a wall, Miss Dickey said. Squint, and it may seem like a reasonable solution, but it doesn't actually work. The alternative, she said, and other critics said, is to better regulate the dog breed industry, particularly so-called backyard breeders who often breed animals in grim conditions and treat them cruelly to make them more aggressive. Adding a new breed to the ban list is not straightforward. The American Bully comes in various sizes, from pocket to XL. Another difficulty with singling out the breed, Professor Westgar said, is that it implies other dogs are not also capable of biting humans. French Bulldogs, Shih Tzus, Jack Russell Terriers rank high on the list of dogs with incidents of bites. But she added, bull breeds will do more damage than your Chihuahua. There is also a social and economic undercut. When the government set out to ban pit bulls in 1991, the Home Secretary at the time, Kenneth Baker, examined data on dog bites and discovered that all Satans, that's what it's spelled like, or a German Shepherd type dog, and other breeds favored by upscale owners may also qualify for the blacklist. This would have infuriated the Green Welly Brigade, he wrote in the 1993 memoir, referring to the people who wear Wellingtons as they walk with their hounds in the Cotswolds or other country retreats. The pit bull lobby came to my aid. Mr. Barker continued, appearing in front of TV cameras with owners usually sporting tattoos and earrings while extolling an allegedly genuine nature of their dogs, whose names were invariably Tyson, Gripper, Killer, or Skies. The dynamic exists with Bully XLs, though social media has added a new element. The breed has been popularized by owners and influencers on Instagram and YouTube. Some focus obsessively on the genealogy. Half a Bully XL in Britain descend from the inbred animal from the U.S. named Killer Kimbo, the Daily Mail reported, citing research compiled by that group Bully Watch. An interview on Thursday, one of the Bully Watch's 3 organizers said he and his colleagues recognized there was a danger that the debate over the dogs could become radicalized. He said that they decided to stop posting every reported incident of an attack and would wait to see how the government responded. Hours later came the attack on Mr. Prince, and on Friday morning, Mr. Sunix pledged to ban the dogs responsible. For Jack Liz, Bully Watch posted referring to a 10-year-old boy who was killed by a Bully XL in 2021, as well as a roll call for other victims. A ban is a step in the right direction. Okay, ooh, that was hard to get through for a number of reasons. My edits may not make it look that way, but holy crap, that was hard to read for a number of reasons, but we're here now. So what is your take on that?
First of all, what the fuck is a Bully XL?
What the fuck is a Bully XL? I'm glad you asked because I did some research on that yesterday. Breedingbusiness.com has the standards for the Bully XL, and here's what they say. I'm glad you asked. An American Bully XL is a variety of the hybrid, a designer dog, bred American Bully, also known as American Bully Pit, Bully Pit Bull, and Bully Pit. The breed has only been around for a couple decades. In fact, the first bred during the 1980s and the 1990s. The purpose was to create a good companion family dog. American Bully was created by breeding an American Pit Bull Terrier and an American Staffordshire Terrier. The resulting litter was then further bred selectively to arrive upon what we call the American Bully today. It was first recognized as a breed by the American Bully Kennel Club, the AKBC, and later on by the United Kennel Club, the UKC. And okay, so the American Bully has been categorized into four varieties by the ABKC. The only criteria for the categorization is the height of the dog. Factors such as weight do not count. Isn't that cool? There are many varieties of the XL Bully, and we'll look at these below here. I'll just tell you the heights. So you have the Pocket Bully, or the Pocket Bully, and he or she is about 17 inches at the withers. Then you have the Standard, and inside the Standard you have the Classic and the Extreme, but both of those range up 20 inches at the shoulders. And then you have the XL Bully. He or she is at 23 at the withers. So the breed standard is pretty vague, if you will.
Well, I mean, when we're talking about bully anything, they have to be vague, because how many of them are actually pure anything?
They're pure love and death, I suppose. Pure death and love.
According to the article.
That article, again, you could check that out, the newyorktimes.com, and the title of the article if you want to read it yourself, because I brutally killed the article.
He murdered it.
I did. The title is called After Brutal Attacks and Fierce Debate, UK to Ban American XL Bully Dogs. So you can check that out. But the reality is, I just want to talk about, first and foremost, like you said, what the fuck is an American Bully XL? So if I'm banning a set dog, how can I ban a dog if I don't even know what it is?
I got it. Maybe you collect their poop and then do a DNA test on their poop to determine what their breed is. So that I don't know who's got the money for that, but that's what I got for you, because how do you, there are so many dogs with the blocky heads that can be a mix of anything. I don't get it. How did you do it in Denver?
Yeah, great question. So, Denver, good old times. I'm sure they love when I talk about them. It's fine, though. No one probably listens from Denver. If you listen from Denver, I miss you. Shout out. So, basically, when I started, we were trained by officers that had been doing breed-specific legislation. No, that's not the right thing I'm looking for. Have been doing breed evaluations. That's what we would call them, right? And so, during that time, they would just say, like, you're looking. We had a list. I should actually share the list. I have it somewhere. We had a list. And on there, you would start with the head of the dog, right? And you'd look at the masseter, so like the jawline, how the muzzle is, how far out the muzzle goes, the stop of the head of the dog, right? The shape of the head as well. So you start there and you check off on this list. Right. And then you'd go into the neck, right? Is the neck long? Is it short, compact? Is it, you know, is it muscular, etc.? And then from the neck, you'd work your way into the shoulders, and you'd go down this list and you'd start checking boxes. Like, does it have broad shoulders? Does it have a barrel chest? Does it have a broad chest? Like, what are the different things? So they taught us all that stuff. We would even go into, like, does it have an abdominal tuck? Like, what, you know, what kind of, muscular, like, legs that they have. How are the feet? Are the feet, like, on the ground? Are they up? Right? Like, depending on all that stuff. So you'd go in and check all these boxes.
Who came up with it?
That's a wonderful question. So it was there before I started. You know, the breed ban in Denver was there. I think it started in 89, if I'm not mistaken. So
is that your guy? Pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd probably
cupcakes.
That'd be, he'd probably count.
He would. So it depends. So you know, in 1989, they outlawed it. And I don't know what the regulations were back then. From some of the horror stories I hear, they absolutely would just round up pitties and kill them, allegedly. Now, I don't know how true that is. It's probably somewhat true. But let me get back to the checklist. So then you'd go through your checklist, and it wasn't like a scoring. There wasn't like the head is worth 5 points. You know what I mean? So you'd go through, and you'd look at all your stuff, and then you turn around on the back. It had some statement that I never read. I forget what it even said because I probably never read it seriously. And then you'd write what you thought the dog was. And so no matter what's like, you could literally take 100 of those, and then you could out of, let's just say out of 10,000, you could take 100 that were identical as far as like the jaw, the head, the shoulders, all that stuff. And then you could turn the backs over to see like what breed people put. And out of those 100, you would have 100 different breeds. Guaranteed.
Oh, of course.
Right. So it was only subjective in the aspects of like whatever the officer wanted to call it at the time. Like I saw pit bulls being released as Weimaraner mixes, lab mixes, boxer mixes, right? Like mastiff mixes. It didn't matter any way to get them out of there. Now, if it came to like a dog that had sketchy behavior, I think officers were more likely to call it a pit bull, and then it would be considered illegal. Now, that didn't mean we immediately euthanized the dog. It just meant that the dog had to leave the city. But there wasn't much follow-up. There wasn't much follow-up in that. So if we said to you, like, hey, the dog needs to leave the city, then you'd be like, peace. And then they would take the dog or whatever, and they'd provide proof of like somebody's address that they were going to take it to. But we never went back to that original address unless we got a new complaint, right? Like we were never going to do that. And it's just like you've had your dog for 2 years. Could you imagine someone coming to your house right now and being like, we're taking your dog away from
no.
you?
No. And like, I struggle with it when I have to declare an animal dangerous, like this pet has been part of their family.
Yeah, see, I don't struggle with. If I know that a dog has caused serious bodily injury or has done something severe enough that we have to call it dangerous, I'm okay with that. I'm at peace with that. Because I know that the public safety aspect is something that we're designed to do. What I had an issue with is like, this dog fucking sleeps on the 2-year-old's bed. You know, they got that thing as a puppy when she was a baby, and now you want me to take it just because of the way it looks. And it's like the sweetest little thing.
Yeah.
And through my...
part of that is going to be, well, was the animal fixed? And at what point in its life was it fixed? Because if it was allowed to, you know, get that, those, let's say for a male, get those testosterone levels higher, you're going to have those bigger, blockier heads, and you're going to have more muscle tone and things like that than if you got them done. That is just baffling to me.
There's more though. There's more. So then it's like, we outlaw your dog, right? And then like the article was talking about too, like, it even looked at like the socioeconomic status of where these dogs live and how they're named Killer or right. How, whatever, you know what
Rex.
I mean? Yeah.
Whatever. Rex everything.
What? Yeah, exactly. And the aspect of that, like I look at it from like the way that it's labeled towards a group of individuals, it's targeting, right. People that may not have resources to get the dogs fixed. Like this goes back to what I've been saying all along with some of the stuff that we talk about on this program about like the systemic fixes that we need. It's not about, in my opinion, necessarily like, let's have these gut reactions to things. Like let's fix the problem. Let's make spay and neutering available in communities that need it. Cause like you said, now we're reducing the potential of aggression through the, like testosterone, et cetera. We know that's linked. Right. Yep. So like, let's take that approach versus like, let's get these dogs. Cause here's the reality. Here's what I found. You could take pit bulls away from people. Guess what they're going to go do?
They're going to go get another one.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem there is going to be where they're getting them from. They're not getting them from reputable breeders. And so I have always been a huge proponent that it is not the breed, but it can be in how they're bred. You breed too aggressive dogs, you are more likely to get aggressive puppies. Mm-hmm. You get people who are out there that just want the money. They want the puppies so that they can sell them. Mm-hmm. They don't care what they're breeding. They don't care if they've got good genetics and if they've got decent hips or if they're breeding for dogs that have allergies. The number of the bully breeds that have allergies is astronomical because of the poor breeding. Mm. The potential for the aggression that we are seeing is because you're not caring what you're breeding together. Mm-hmm. And so you're just perpetuating the problem.
And the article also hit on this, like, if we're going to breed dogs, okay, cool. If we're going to ban dogs, that's great. Let's ban every dog over 50 pounds or 40 pounds. Right. Every single dog over 40 pounds should not exist based on what they're saying, right? Because you can't sit here and say, like, let's ban the Bully XL, but not ban German Shepherds or Malinois or Huskies or
Rottweilers.
Hey, don't say that. He's sleeping next to me right now. But the reality is, like, you can't just say, oh, it's pit bulls. Like, sure, pit bulls, like, scientific data, which, again, even if you, like, I love how they there's a word where, like, I always get stuck with these types of things, Bishop, so you got to help me. Where you, like, make something bigger than it really is. Exaggerate.
Yes. That's the word. I didn't know what that something was.
If you think about it, if you took 10,000 dog bites and then you looked at all the dog bites and then you saw down here at, you know, 11 this, sure, there's 11 deaths, which are horrible. That's horrible. People die all the time and die from horrible things. But, like, is banning a breed really going to make the community safer?
Well, first of all, there is a case out there, and we've talked about it before. I believe we talked about it with Dr. Ian Dunbar, with the Pomeranian that killed a baby because the owners left the baby alone with the dog. And we've also talked about the pounds per square inch of the bite of each dog. And I believe Pit Bull Terriers were not even on that top 10 list.
They're probably on the top 10, but
very low.
Very low. I mean, they're lower than, like, how come the Cane Corso is not talked about?
Right.
Right? Like, that dude is...
Because they're not owned very much, because there's not a population that owns them. And that's part of the problem, is these bully breeds are popular. So we have more data on them,
sure,
because there's more of them. Either way, the way I look at it, and we may get some heat. For once, I'm going to bring the heat.
Whoa! Alert! Bishop's bringing the heat!
When I hear BSL, I don't think of it any differently than saying all black people are bad. Or I equate it to race. There's no difference in my opinion, because every person, every animal has their own mindset. They are making their own choices. They have their own differences between nurture versus nature. And across the board, I think that it is breedist. I mean, racist wouldn't really fit here, but I think it is the equivalent of being racist against animals.
I can see that point. And I think it's a valuable point in that aspect. I do. And, you know, the prime minister has probably no experience with the breed other than what he sees on the news, right? Or what's coming across his desk. Like, he probably owns a corgi. Let's be honest. Right? Like,
like, Theo's a potato dog.
Yeah, it's like, but at the end of the day, I think we have to understand that the resources and the responsibility that it puts on our profession to try to enforce something that you cannot enforce. You cannot enforce breed-specific legislation. If anybody that is listening to this show wants to tell me different, please come on, send us a message. I tried to enforce it for 10 years, and there was no way to enforce it accurately. The only option, like I said, seriously, and I mean this, ban every dog that weighs over 40 pounds. That's your answer. Like, yeah. That's it. That's the answer. It's not because it has a blocky head or it has a, like, it is the size of the dog. Size matters in this scenario, yo. Right? And so,
yeah.
Sure, like a Chihuahua is more likely to bite you, but it's just going to cause some punctures, right? A larger dog that bites you could cause death. Absolutely could cause death and has caused death. We don't want to see any person die from any unnecessary situation, period. But banning the breed is not the way to do it. The way to do it is to have laws that are, first and foremost, to take your call as seriously as animal control. I'm going to just start there. I'm going to say this. Like, go to your calls and investigate your calls, because if you're missing something, and that's part of the problem, like that issue that happened in 89, where Denver decided to adopt the BSL, it was because animal control just didn't do their job. Like, that was the reality. Like, they did not enforce some of the bites that were happening from these dogs. And then I think the same dog, if I'm not mistaken, like the same dogs were involved in the incident, and then they got out and, like, killed a little girl, or they attacked a pastor or something like that after an already noted incident. And so that's the stuff I'm talking about. Like, if you have an opportunity to, you know, designate a dog potentially dangerous or write a ticket for a bite or whatever, there might be another thing like public nuisance, however your ordinance defines it, like, you got to do that part right now. There are going to be moments that it may be the first incident, and the first incident is extremely bad, but it still doesn't mean we can't take that serious and enforce what we have to enforce there. So just do our jobs, right? I think that makes things different, but there's no way to do our job where we have to go out and then determine, is this dog a bully XL, and then impound it and kill it, I guess is what Britain wants to do.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous. It'll be interesting to see if they actually get it passed, because it's not passed yet. They're proposing it,
correct? Yeah, they want it by the end of the year. We can follow that. I don't know anybody that's been asked to come testify on either side. I think it would be interesting to get, obviously it's a different country, but interesting to get their RSPCA folks involved and see, like, what their take is on that, because they're the ones there that would really have to. I guess maybe the police would handle it too. I'm not sure.
You know, even looking back, I've gone out on deployment with the ASPCA to help at their shelter where they were housing a lot of the fighting dogs, which, as we know, are all bullies. There were, out of the, like, 200 dogs there, there was maybe 20 that were unhandleable and, like, dogs that were dangerous that weren't going to make it out of that shelter because they were too dangerous. But I was around 200 of them and never felt unsafe.
Totally.
And they came from shitty situations. I'm sure that if an organization got in there and explained some of that, you know, we were going into those kennels on a daily basis.
It's just, it's not, again, it's not enforceable. It's just not, like, that's the reality. They would have to, like, make the breed extinct in order for it to be enforceable. Like, that's the only, there's too many
people. And then which dogs?
Right. Like, it's just, it is not enforceable. What's enforceable is the potentially dangerous, or, you know, maybe what you could potentially enforce is, like, making sure those people, you know, are aware of the, like, education, like, aware of what could happen. Like, you're a responsible dog owner, Bishop. You know that you have a big dog. You have a, what is he, 80 pounds, 85?
Yeah. He's my 80-pound meat missile.
Yeah. Like, he could literally, if he has the zoomies, he could knock one of your kids out.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not even from a bite. Like, his just physical force and speed could knock one of your kids out. He could probably knock Tim out. I heard he's got a glass jaw. just kidding, Tim. Much love, bro. Much love. But no, in all seriousness, like, the danger is beyond just the teeth. Like, your dog is big. You have small children. But you're responsible and you know, like, what is necessary in those moments.
Yeah. I mean, we have a fenced-in yard and I still make sure that, you know, he's being watched and he's got an e-collar because the one area of the fence I know he could launch over if he wanted to. He's never tried.
Yeah.
But I'm conscientious of the fact of, A, his breed, and that scares the living daylights out of people. But also, he's a big dog. We call him a meat missile for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have to be careful.
You absolutely have to be careful. I just want to say, as we in closing, if the Prime Minister, if Rishi Sunak wants to come on the show, I doubt that'll happen. But bro, if you want to come on the show, breed specific legislation does not work, period. End of story. Mm-hmm. We're happy to have a discussion and come up with some other avenues for you. But the reality is, bro, try a different route because you're just going to be wasting taxpayer money.
Hey, if anybody wants to over there or is going to be fighting the Prime Minister and wants to pay for us to come out there, we'll come out there and talk to you about it too.
Yeah, but when she said fighting, she doesn't mean like literally physically fighting because I don't want to go to jail.
Oh, yeah.
She just meant like fighting the BSL stuff.
Verbally.
Yeah, verbally. Got to be careful over there though. You say the wrong thing and, you know, they throw you in the pond or something. I don't know what they do over there. Also, officers or listeners, shelter folks, people in the animal welfare industry, if you have a different view and you want to share it, you can share it anonymously. We could read it on the air, whatever. You know, we're happy to get your feedback as well. So don't feel like you can't reach out. So please check out our website, keepithumane.com. All the contact info is also in the show notes. So you can email or text both of us or even call. You can call Bishop at 2 in the morning. I will say this, last thing before we go, is BSL has helped me in a few times when I was in Denver. There were a few times I didn't have probable cause to impound for cruelty or neglect, so I used the breed, the physical attributes of the breed to say, well, I got to impound your dog because it helped me build the case on the neglect or cruelty aspect. Nice. That's the only time in my entire career that BSL actually worked for me. It just lowered the standards of probable cause to impound. That was it. That's all it did.
Nice. Nice.
So, anyway, don't forget to nominate agency or officer and or officer of the year, keepithumane.com/the animal control report. Please like, rate, and share the podcast. Send this one overseas. Send it to your friends in the UK. We'll do our best job of distributing it that way as well because those folks need to hear it. You know, it only takes 3 days by boat, but the cool thing about the internet, it can get there instantly. So we'll look forward to getting that done. Like, share, rate us. What else we got, Bishop?
We're coming up on our trainings.
Oh, yeah. That'll be happening in November in San Marcos, Texas. So if you're a Texas person or just want to come to Texas for a training, we hope you to see you at the Texas Animal Control Association in San Marcos, Texas, November 12th through the 14th. Great time always. That's by far my favorite conference. I enjoy all the conferences. Trust me. I mean that. You can like stuff and then you could really like stuff. And TACA is just always, it's just a special place. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm excited to go back. So.
Yep. Well, it'll be fun to see you there. We can talk more BSL. We're going to talk a lot of shit. Bishop has her first, is that your first peer training?
Yeah.
Are you nervous?
No, not really.
You excited?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to get into it.
Let me get you fired the fuck up before you go on. Bring those headphones with you because we're going in.
Just so I don't have to listen to you?
No, so you can put on your favorite song. I want you to put on, like, let me think. Your favorite song is going to be like...
Oh, boy. Here we go.
she's gonna be walking up in the room like this, and all you're gonna hear in the headphones is, "Who let the dogs out?" I just feel like that's gonna be you. Okay, well, thanks again for listening, and as always, keep it
humane.